heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Yeah, I want to read you first the text of a statement from President Donald Trump on the election result. And it goes like this. Beginning Monday, our campaign will start prosecuting our case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld and the rightful winner is seated. Now, the American people are entitled to an honest election. That means counting all legal ballots. And not counting any illegal ballots. This is the only way to ensure the public has full confidence in our election. It remains shocking that the Biden campaign refuses to agree with this basic principle and wants ballots counted, even if they are fraudulent, manufactured, or cast by ineligible or deceased voters. Only a party engaged in wrongdoing would unlawfully keep observers out of the count room and then fight in court to block their access. We will discuss today on the program the means and technical aspect of how they did this exactly, the bigger challenge in how we prove all of this, and the role of the American media empire in all of this. And even more so, my fellow Americans, the soul of America that hangs in the balance. It's a conversation today we'll have with Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He's a retired United States Air Force Lieutenant General, has been at the forefront on some of these recent developments, and you might have heard his voice on Viewpoint, in fact, on the weekend with us. So we start here, and to break this down, to discuss really the means and technical aspects of it, this is not going to be an easy case to claim or to prove. Before we dive into that, General, let's talk first about the origins of this program, because there's a lot of claims right now of fraudulent activities. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of things, but you're not going to win this sort of a case. Let's be clear. Everybody should understand this with, well, they're sending these to dead people, or there were some shenanigans in this particular booth, or, you know, somebody bought a truck and an SUV in the middle of the night. I mean, all of these are sort of circumstantial, I guess you'd call it, but they're not exactly going to prove this case. Something's going to have to be widespread. Something's going to have to be like it hit a lot of these particular states here. And I guess that's where we bring it to this program called Hammer and Scorecard, I guess, to electronically change these things with all the nefarious means that have been used in this election. And it sounds like there's a lot of them, General. Is this the biggest culprit in this election that we're faced with?
Absolutely, Malcolm, without a doubt. And there are a lot of them, and we can discuss them in our discussions. But the focus, or in the military terms, the main attack, the Schwerpunkt, is Hammer Scorecard. That's what determined the change. There are many other fraudulent activities, but that's what was the determining factor.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I always say, and I've noticed how they operate on the far left, the communist is what I will call it, General. And it seems to me, as I've been watching them in past months here, and actually over these past few years, they seem to take out more and more. I look at this as insurance policy. So, you know, there's one after the next. And I think when they seen this, that liberty was taken a hold again in America through the election of Donald Trump, which we will talk about today. It seems to me like they've taken out more and more and more insurance policies to ensure the end result of where they want to take this country, which really is the soul of America. So starting with Hammer and Scorecard, I want to start there now in this first chapter with you. And just really, let's dive in and educate people, because from what I understand about this, there's a couple of things we want to inform the people. First of all, this thing was started as a foreign surveillance system, and there's a gentleman's name who I've heard thrown around a fair amount now. In fact, I'd love to chat with him, but his name is Dennis Montgomery as well. Tell us how this thing started as a tool for the government and what this gentleman's involvement is, General.
Yes, it's a foreign surveillance tool to keep America safe from terrorism after 9/11 and to protect U.S. forces on the battlefield. So it was a surveillance tool by the SIGINT, signals intelligence crowd, in the vernacular of the military and the warfighting. Just as a mention, Robert Mueller, who was then the director of the FBI, provided the computers for Hammer. If that's getting into a lot of detail, but it was a very important surveillance system, and it featured multiple echelons of safeguards and sign-offs to prevent U.S. personnel, all the way up to the president, from using this system for unlawful domestic purpose. Now, on the 3rd of February, 2 weeks after President Obama's inauguration, Brennan and Clapper moved the Hammer to a secret CIA facility in Fort Washington, Maryland, where it operated. What happened was Dennis Montgomery saw that Brennan and Clapper had commandeered the Hammer as a foreign surveillance tool and were using it as a domestic surveillance tool for blackmail and leverage. Montgomery then became a whistleblower. And so once he became a whistleblower, he was Typhoid Mary in the system. And he went through a whole host of things that whistleblowers go through. I won't lay them out, laying out the domestic surveillance. And as people must realize, the CIA is not allowed to surveil domestic people. And this was part of the initial politicization of the intelligence community and the Department of Justice and the FBI that we later saw with the Russian hoax and what they left President Trump. And that's why there is Trump derangement syndrome, because he is uncovering all the things that the Obama administration had done and that you talked about earlier. And listening to your intro, Malcolm, I sometimes say we ought to call this the hammer and sickle program rather than the hammer and scorecard, because it is converting this country into a communist society. It will be a totalitarian regime. And as long as you're using cyber warfare in future elections, only the owners of this tool will prevail unless we stop it now. And that's why the urgency of this program and what you are doing, Malcolm, is so important to the American people. Yeah. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Yeah, your voice is certainly being heard loud and clear, General, for sure. Part of the challenge we have is to convince that part of America that's not paying attention. You know, it's hard for some of us to believe, but there are people that actually live a normal life, General. And they don't pay attention to all of these going-ons of Washington. And they tend to tune it out, and they're only listening to the same talking heads they've been listening to for a long time. So part of this whole campaign that's been building for decades that I see has been the politicization of our media, of our intelligence agencies. And, you know, I would say this, General, I'd like to get you to opine a moment up front. And I'm thinking, as you were just talking about Brennan, Clapper, and of course, I always think of the Three Stooges with Brennan, Clapper, and Comey. It's a sitcom unto itself, the three of them, three evil devices there in our government. A lot changed after 9/11 in our country. A lot of people failed to see that when it comes to the surveillance and investigation and turning these tools onto the American public. You know, the more I see this, and this is maybe an odd way to say it, General, but 9/11 was, I'm saying this is me talking, a very poignant moment for our nation in more ways than one, more than just some buildings coming down and people dying. It changed the way that we seem to do business and the way we think, and we seem to lay a lot of our safeguards down and allow the government to run away with all of these tools, and they're being turned on the American public from evil from within, which has always been our danger from within, not from out from foreign enemies, but it's from within. What do you say to what I say there?
I say you're spot on. And that's the danger of what has happened in this election and why it must be transparently laid out to the American people. And you can see what the mainstream media and the tech, the social networks have done and what they are trying to censor the American public and what the public hears. You saw Fox News flipped on us in the election and what they did in announcing Virginia minutes after the polls called, but mostly what they've done in Arizona, now Pennsylvania and elsewhere. And so the one viable network, Fox News, that I worked for 16 and a half years, that was such a strong supporter of what you just articulated, has left us. It's abandoned us. Not all the anchors have. Mm-hmm. I'll be very frank with you. I can tell the ones, and I could tell before I left Fox, who were the anti-Trumpers and who were not. But we counted on Fox for a lot. And the only reason I'm discussing them is because they have lost their credibility.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed to say.
Yeah. There's a lot of truth to what you say. And a lot of people have turned it off for sure. And they've gone on to Newsmax and OAN and what we're doing here at America Out Loud, our voice in talk radio and in podcast both. But then on the television side, Newsmax and OAN, very credible sources. And they seem to be really rising here. And you're right. People are very upset with Fox News for a whole host of reasons. They've taken fair and balanced to a whole other level that's hard to understand sometimes. You know, one of the strange things that happened on election night, General, was the calling of Arizona with the desk there. I found it very odd how they called Arizona. And then they were so persistent in keeping it that way. And then the anchors kept calling the guys out of the back to make them fess up again, because the outrage was being heard from sea to shining sea. And they would pull them. Well, yeah, we agree. Yeah, we agree. We're going to stay with that decision. And they would not buckle. And the more the pressure heated, the more hot it got, the more Fox seemed to get in their tizzy, and they wouldn't bend. That was kind of a telltale sign, wasn't it?
It really was. On that election, Fox News clearly outed themselves, and because of what they were doing, they would not bend. And the fact is we now know, the election in Arizona is still too close, but they wouldn't. So that they showed their spots, and unfortunately, really, Malcolm, because they were playing a great service to the nation, and I'm sure that the American people now understand that and will be moving over to Newsmax and
OAN. Well, we have. I certainly have myself. But you know, General, that was the reason Fox News rose the way they rose and got record ratings in our nation. They're going to be quite, I don't know if they'll be surprised or not, but I would venture to say they're going to lose a record amount of their audience. And I would think a lot of those ratings will plummet, I would imagine. It's what I see anyways, because that conservative audience is pretty fit to be tied. So we'll see what happens there. But getting back to the hammer and sickle, as you call it here, which I think is probably a very appropriate name. But it is the scorecard as the mechanism that's doing the dirty work here. So let's talk again to folks now. This thing, I love what you set up there with we talked about the foreign surveillance system. We talked about how it was being used initially, and then how Brennan Clapper did what they did to politicize it and take it in the CIA when Dennis Montgomery became the whistleblower, because he seen what he seen clearly and was outraged with it very much. What do you think? What year was that, first of all, roughly, that happened, please?
Yeah, that was in 2013.
Okay.
And
okay.
When he saw that. And so it was, and he's a very courageous, historic, in my opinion, American. History will be very good to him, hopefully.
Right.
People that are trying to discount this, and for the first time, Fox mentioned it. Sidney Powell had mentioned it Friday night and Lou Dobbs on the Business Network, but yesterday she did it on Maria, but she didn't announce, she didn't use the term hammer and scorecard. She used other terms and worked around it. But this morning, for the first time, I heard Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends mention hammer and scorecard for the first time.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's our challenge. Mm-hmm. The point is so important, Malcolm. I cannot emphasize to what your network is telling the American people. Let's get this laid out and let's make it transparent, America. Because there are 71 million people of us that voted for President Trump, and we don't want to be cheated. He was, without a doubt, if it was done legally, he would have won hands down.
Yeah. You know, when you referenced there, them bringing it up on that channel, you know what I'm thinking about, General, is it really does, and I'm not saying this to be clever here, but it really does, and it's become more and more aware of this, how it feels like we really are in the Soviet Union. And what I mean by that is, in a lot of these circles now, you can't say certain things. And we're talking, this is beyond PC now. This is out in the light of day, where when they tell you you can't do certain, like you say, hammer and scorecard, well, Sidney Powell had to work around that. Okay, great. But Kilmeade did say here, and this happened there. And it's the same thing with social media. They are totally out of control. And right now, it seems to me, General, they're coming down with the sickle really hard and the hammer, because what's happening is, if you look all over Facebook and you look at Twitter and you look at YouTube and countless others, including LinkedIn and all of them, actually, they're censoring everybody. They're putting disclaimers on everything, even if you have a different opinion. Like if you have a difference of an opinion and you say, well, I'm not sure this election that I think it was right or may have been fraudulent, that could be your opinion. They're squashing that opinion by putting a disclaimer all over it by saying, well, this is questionable, fraudulent, questionable information and being disputed. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It really is. I never thought it would have happened in America. Malcolm, but the fact is, it has happened big time. I did a radio show. You know, I first found out about this a week ago, Sunday, yesterday, and went on Steve Bannon's radio show on Monday. Mm-hmm. Sidney Powell was on there as one of the hosts and laid it out, saying what was going to happen in this election when Hammer Scorecard was implemented, and that the authorities and everybody should be alerted to it and take the appropriate action. Mm-hmm. I was a little late in my Paul Revere ride, but at least it was a start. However, Twitter took it off, Steve's program off Twitter.
Yeah.
Now that is pure censorship.
Yeah.
And guess who their lead legal authority is Baker, who was the FBI authority lawyer when Dennis Montgomery testified from them in front of them and turned over 47 servers full of data. And surprise, isn't it?
Well, a lot of this, when you start to connect the dots, it's actually very stunning because you start to see a lot of these enemies are sleeping with other enemies, and you begin to see there is some math here that can be done. So that's interesting what you say there. I didn't know that. I got to ask you something now with that Steve Bannon conversation you had. Let me understand a couple of things here that are important. And when you had that conversation initially on the war room and bringing this up, you mentioned Powell and you mentioned hammer and scorecard, and I love the way you reference Paul Revere there, General, very much so. When was that in relation to the election on the 3rd? When was that, please?
Well, as I recall, the program was around 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. I'd have to look at my calendar. On the 2nd of November.
There it is right there. So this was before the votes. Now, this was important. I was thinking about this today coming on with you because I did the math myself. And I recognize in looking at what you did, I kind of had that feeling it was before the votes were even in. Is that correct then?
That's correct. Even before the booths opened. I mean, we had advanced voting, of course, but before the election day of 3 November, it was done on the 7th around the 2nd. Around 2 November, around noon.
So you had every understanding in feeling. Now, how did you really know, General? I mean, let me ask you this, because I went ahead and watched that conversation you had with Bannon. I did not know the date you had it, so I wanted to know that. I got the feeling, but based on what I could tell, it was before the votes were in on the 3rd. And how did you even know? How could you, I mean, you obviously, as we talked over the weekend, you became aware of this system back in 2017, you told me. Right. So this didn't happen a moment ago when you said you discovered some things a week ago. You didn't discover Hammer and Scorecard a week ago because you knew about that in 2017.
Well, I knew about Hammer. I'd never heard of Scorecard.
I see.
So I had kind of forgotten it. Yeah, I broke the news on Dave Janda's Freedom Radio, Operation Freedom Radio. And the point is, that's how they were spying on the Trump administration during his campaign.
Back in 2017 now.
Back in 2017. And then when he took over in January 2017, they moved it out of a government facility into their own facility. Mm-hmm. And they continued to monitor the Trump administration, which I had not fully realized. I'd kind of lost it once President Trump was elected, because I thought he would get control of all that. But no, I didn't realize what kind of a threat. But once I heard they had this new application, which is very easy to do, Malcolm, please, in the cyber warfare and the things, without discussing a lot of the things in my experience in the military, all I can say is this is trivial compared to some of the work we do. And so it didn't surprise me. I immediately knew what they were going to do on the 3rd of November. And you're now starting to see evidence of on television. For instance, there's one going around on CNN that shows how the numbers change and switch exactly from Trump to Biden. Trump goes down, Biden goes up. And these kind of pieces of evidence are starting to come up. But it's the important analysis and analytics that they're doing now, and they must do, to put it in an affidavit form, mm-hmm. and then bring it up to the legal system. And they've got to do, say, 4 or 5 of the battleground states. That's only where it was. And that's why the below the line vote, why the Republicans did so well in the House as well as in the Senate, frankly, and which has surprised everybody. If all those votes were going to Biden, they would have gone to the senators and to the House members, and there would have been a blue wave, wouldn't there have?
Yeah, but exactly.
It's much more difficult to do that, mm-hmm. and more complicated to do that. And all they were focused on, they'd get by with this on the presidency, take over again. Then once they're back in the position, they'd get all this stuff working like they had it working. Nobody would know better. And we'd go on and live, quote, happily ever after under a hammer and sickle flag.
Yeah, exactly. There you go there. You know, General, I want to tell you that there's a lot of other dots to connect on what you just say there. A lot of things that make no logical sense whatsoever. How certain races went certain ways, how things changed dramatically, and how it just didn't tie in to the presidency. And how would somebody go in and vote for one way and then vote the other ticket the rest of the way? It typically is very unnormal. It doesn't happen. There's still a lot of questions as far as proving this that I want to talk to you about in a moment ago. You just talked about affidavits and getting it into concrete information. And then I read the president's message up front. I certainly want to spend some time there for sure. What I'm wondering is, well, back to understanding how this thing flowed, General, back to the early days of you discovering in 2017, knowing when Dennis Montgomery developed this software, the application of this, how it was hijacked again from Brennan and Clapper, which are absolutely devious fellas. We've seen that. We've known it. We've reported on them and their And they are obviously celebrating the moment just to have a Joe Biden victor. They think they're off the hook potentially from going to jail for all the other things they've done. We know what color suit they should all be wearing. But that's beyond all of this. This is all new information. This hammer and scorecard business here. But I'm wondering now, 2016, why is it they didn't pull that out to use that to get Hillary Clinton? Why did they ever let Trump get into office to begin with? Why didn't they pull that out then to make Hillary Clinton the victor in that campaign?
Well, let me say this in rather couch terms, Malcolm. They tried, but they didn't think they'd have to do it in such a magnitude, and they were thwarted. In other words, they had limited focus on where they thought they would have to go. And they would just say they were thwarted. They tried. But that's why they were so astonished that President Trump won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do we really know? How do we convince the American people that back to what we're talking about here? And, you know, they tried, but they were thwarted back in. How do we really know that? I mean, is there a way to tell? I mean, how do we convince people of that?
Well, I don't know if you'll ever be able to convince them, and you don't want to spend too much time, okay, except point out the stunned nature of how they did it and then why Hillary shaped it and told Biden, do not say you were defeated in case it didn't work. And that's why they laid in the governors and the Democrats laid in the write-in ballots, that the votes that were so dangerous to us, and all these things. I haven't spent much time on it, okay, but it's very obvious, because my focus right now is we have got to get the word out to America what was right. done. We have a very limited time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every hour, every day that goes by is another hour a day that is lost to be able to change this result. But back to when Bush and Gore happened, you know, they thought Gore was the president elect as well, remember, for a period of time, weeks. And then that was overturned, correct?
Correct. But they didn't have hammer scorecard in those days. That
right.
was
right.
Chad's and other devious ways that they had used over the years to steal elections. You know, yeah. John Kennedy and Nixon back in Chicago, and Nixon walked away from it. But here's where I think we ought to talk about the different corrupt means of voting that have been going on over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody must understand it's the cyber warfare that has taken over, and hammer and scorecard. That is the big numbers. For instance, in Michigan, at 0400 in the morning, the next day, 138,000 votes show up all for Biden. This is electronically, and it happens in three other states as well. So you get onesies and twosies in these other things.
Right.
The other area is if they flooded the system with these mail-in ballots. Now, what's the difference between a mail-in ballot and an absentee ballot? Well, a mail-in ballot does not have a chain of custody. A chain of custody where you know it is all the time, you know who the person is, they're identified, signature, etc. Mail-in ballots have no chain of custody. And so they had a host of those when they saw the numbers were higher. So as we go down the scale of the different ways that corruption came, through cyber, through mail-in ballots, we don't think that they were able to corrupt very much absentee ballots. And then you go in the dead. The Fraser, Joe Fraser, the great boxing, has voted in this election. What did he die back in the 90s, I think, or wherever it was?
Right.
And all the dead people that show up. Then you have the people that moved out of the state. Ballots come to the residence they used to live in, and they are voted on using. And so then you work down the scale to. We talked about dead people. We talked about people moving out. And then you just have the normal fraudulent where the mailman drops a bunch of votes off. And so there's a whole plethora of different types of corruption. But the important thing our listeners must understand, we need to focus on the cyber warfare right now.
Yeah, because all these other things are kind of distractions, I'm finding. A lot of people are talking about these, and while they're important, but a lot of this, General, is just the point that we have a horrible election system. To be the picture of democracy and have this happen is really tarnishes our star, doesn't it?
It does. And you know, I didn't even mention the voting machines, mm-hmm. where there was in Michigan, where they discovered the software and the voting machines of 5,000 and that were 5,500 yeah. Michigan at one precinct. And it was in so many precincts, and it's in 30 states. So all those different things mount up. And I was looking today at a chart on television. Most of the voting, the differences in the battleground states is less than 1%. Yeah. I mean, so you can see what the difference of the cyber warfare when you have 138,000 votes show up in Michigan and two other states, how that would tilt the balance.
And that's well, talking 1%, and this software, as we discussed on the weekend, can change it up to 3%.
Correct.
Yeah. So there's plenty of margin there and plenty of room. So here's the question I want to ponder here is, as you stated moments ago, General, getting all of this into affidavits, getting the information out there. So now here's what I'm thinking. A lot of listeners are in my ears telling me, well, how do we get this? I mean, they're rightfully concerned, as you are, as we all are, that every hour that ticks by, that every day that ticks by is another hour day lost to be able to change the direction of this president-elect business. We notice that on the left, they're already forming their committees and their new administration and their COVID response and mask mandates and all of this crazy stuff. They're already moving to that point to show that they're in power, in other words. And this has kind of been that game all the way along that I want people to understand what's happening here. This didn't happen overnight, but this thing has been, they've been filtering this information out to the American people, and the media has been all too willing to be partners here to change our nation, which still I have such a hard time getting that in my mind, as a lot of you out there have as well, that somehow our media is, it's disturbing. It's disturbing that the Fourth Estate is so long gone. It's disturbing that the free press is now an ancient idea in our nation. It's disturbing that we have to have conversations not near the water cooler too much so somebody might hear it. It's disturbing to hear you can't say certain things because your freedom of speech is being suppressed because they don't want you to say it. It's damn well disturbing is what it is. And that's what's happening right now, right?
Welcome. It is treasonous. If we lose a free press in this nation, we are doomed as a nation. And what they are doing is treasonous activities, just like Hillary Clinton's emails was a violation of the Espionage Act. And nothing has happened, just about the sale of Uranium One. And all these things that have transpired under that administration are going to come back. And that's why Hammer and Scorecard must be exposed and the facts must come out. And the president has got to take the lead on this. Now, there are people that are trying to discredit Hammer and Scorecard, and rightly so. There are people in the administration, in certain three-letter organizations that are trying to discard it. Why? Well, they're going to be exposed for certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why this is such a dangerous situation.
Well, it's been a problem, General. Our intelligence agencies have been hijacked some time ago. They're lost, which, again, a lot of people, I want to answer, have you talk to me about this when we get back, too, from the pause here. Our intelligence agencies, I think a lot of people are saying to me, and I've been hearing from a whole host of people around our nation, suggesting that one of the if there's one major mistake that President Trump has made with his reference to the Washington swamp, if you're going to drain anything, is that too many people were left in powerful positions in these intelligence agencies and other places here that are part of the system and the status quo. And that, to me, they're saying is the big danger here in a calculus mistake that the president has made. We're going to take a pause here. We're speaking to Lieutenant General Tom McInerney here. And, we're talking again. You like your freedom. You love your freedom. You want your freedom. You value your liberty. That's one path here. And then you've got a totalitarian system over here, which has taken place. And, you know, you hear the general talking a moment ago, bringing it back to Kennedy. And see, that's the point. Communism has been under the radar for a long time in our country. I remember that, as I told you before, as a kid, on the sandlot balls playing ball, you know, communism in America. We would chuckle about it like it really was a thing, but it wasn't a thing. Like, you know, well, it's not going to bother us here. But, you know, it's been building and building and building. And now you see what's going on with Congress and the expansion of the squad and all these lunatics that would make Bernie Sanders look like a choir boy and where they want to take the nation. And then you say, what the hell are we doing, Malcolm? Who's got their hands on the wheel? That's a good question. We'll answer more of that right after the pause. Be back with General Tom McInerney.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
It was the birth of this network, America Out Loud, back in 2016, April, in fact, that we launched America Out Loud. And when my voice came to the airwaves after spending 25 years in corporate boardrooms, it was really all about the soul of our nation. I felt that we were being pulled apart from very devious means and people with an evil agenda. And I often reference to all of you out here and the fight of good versus evil. That is my rallying call. Everything I do on the Voice of a Nation here with you on this program, and that comes from me, is about the fight of good versus evil. That's what's in play here. And so we have here with us today, again, Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He's United States Air Force Lieutenant General. He has been familiar with this hammer and scorecard, and as he said, is the big it's a system that is electronically able to change votes. I would think, General, that the president would have an immediate meeting or roundtable in his office with Dennis Montgomery and yourself even included and others immediately to get to the bottom of this. Why hasn't that happened?
I don't know, Malcolm. It's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is a damn good question. I'm wondering how we don't have that happen. I'd have had an airplane ticket already for him, you, and a few others I would have gathered up and bought in here. So I begin to question. So right now, let's get to the crux of a couple of things here. We got to get to the point where we like unveil this, open up the curtain and say, ah, there it is. Finally, we finally see what Oz has been up to all this time. OK, terrific. Now, the president has started to do some of that, General, by pulling back that curtain a little bit here and showing how devious the deep state is and what a lot of us has seen, or what I tend to call the establishment. I don't even try to use the words deep state, because people, that gets into conspiracy language and then they discredit you immediately back to the PC people. I prefer to use the establishment. These are the established players that have been around too damn long, and they're as corrupt as the day is long. So how do we get this information now with everything you know? I mean, you realize the sensitivity of the time, and how do we get it into affidavits? Is there enough here, do you think, back to what you've said and back to the hammer and scorecard and Dennis Montgomery, the origins of this, the CIA, Brennan Clapper, can they get this into a means that can make sense out of it in like really simple steps? Because this has got to get in front of a court, specifically the Supreme Court, or we don't have a shot in hell, General.
You're exactly right. And I think the president has got to take the personal initiative. I think your listeners have got to call the White House and say, let's get down to the bottom of this. The president has got to get focused on it. His team has got to get focused. This is the number one issue, that the cyber warfare that was utilized in it. Don't get distracted by all the other things. He's got lots of lawyers chasing that. But the fact is, this will make the difference. Now, this is why it's so important that you do, again, what you were doing, so we can get the American people, those 71 million Americans that voted for President Trump, so they know that we can exhaustively look at the hammer and the scorecard, what was done there. For those that say, no, it didn't happen, well, if it's looked at exhaustively and Dennis gets to turn in his information, then we'll see. But let's not get distracted by too many other things. The important thing is that when 138,000 votes show up at 0400 in the morning in Michigan, that were those legitimate votes or were they not? That data must be analyzed, and the forensics of it must be analyzed. And you'll find that the number, because here's where they make the change. At the polls, the data in those machines, and 30 of them, you know, there's corruptness there. We can look at that. But the fact is, when that data goes to the Secretary of State in the Capitol office, it's called a transfer point. And this is electronically. That's the first time that data becomes part of the internet. And that's where Hammer grabs it and looks at it, and they put their application scorecard on it, and that changes the vote. And so that's comparing what by mechanically comparing the data that went into the transfer point and the data that went out, a part of the forensics that must be looked at. And we've got to do it quickly, and we've got to do it in the key battleground states.
Can we prove that, what you say there?
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's provable. And this thing would have to get in front of the Supreme Court, and it would be a moment like we've never seen in our nation. Is that correct?
Yes.
And this would be must see, must watch, must listen to everything, huh?
This has never happened in our nation before. Exactly. We've in the scale that it was. Mm-hmm. And we all know, because the down ballots didn't reflect the same thing as for the presidential. And so you've got to go into this, what we call patterns of behavior.
Exactly.
We use these things and why it was so out of context. And it didn't pass what I call the sniff test. And if it doesn't pass that, then you've got to start looking, and you've got to do it. And we've got to do it right, or you're going to have 71 million Americans know they were cheated.
The patterns of behavior that make no sense. So we're talking more than just some incidentals. We're talking, and that's what you're trying to show, General, is there's widespread fraud. Because the only way to get anybody's attention at this point, let alone the Supreme Court, it has got to be widespread fraud. Not to say somebody did something, or we sent a few thousand ballots to dead people in Wisconsin, isn't going to cut it.
Correct.
Yeah. It's distractions, right?
Correct. We call it tactical deception in the warfighting business.
Yeah. Got to read Sun Tzu again, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Know thy enemy.
Know thy enemy. And that's it. Got to, and that's something that President Trump has always been pretty good at, keeping the enemy close by. The public, the media never wanted to admit that when they always called it cozying up to dictators or cozying up to others. They never understood what the president was doing, did they?
No.
No. But you got it. You knew immediately, didn't you?
I knew right away.
You bet your ass.
I knew right away the Russian hoax was a hoax.
Yeah.
I knew right away what was going to happen here. And unfortunately, the president has got a lot of different things, but he's got the old executive office building called the Eisenhower building where the NSC is. And that's full of, he's still got people that are not loyal to the Constitution. Right. And you talk about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and what he did and the chap who was the whistleblower, what they did. These were all treasonous activities that I never saw in the involvement that I was at a senior level between Republicans and Democrats in the old days. This has changed dramatically, and America must clean this cancer out and do it properly.
I've been telling people for years now the Democrat Party is gone. In fact, I said they're making their last gasp right now for air as you put a fork in it, but they're gone. What do you say to that?
I say you're spot on. The fact is, if they win, it's the last gasp of air for a republic that is a democracy. We are finished. We are toast.
Yeah.
Four more years will be 8 years, and Trump was an anomaly. How he won, you know, we're still trying to figure out. But he never got the support of the bureaucracy.
No.
And because he wasn't a politician, he didn't know. And so the people he put in a lot of these billets were bad people.
Like Christopher Wray in the FBI.
Exactly.
He's worthless.
You're giving him a lot of credit.
Right. All right. Okay. I mean, it seems to be. I said to you, is that probably the biggest mistake the president has made, what you just said, and also that he hasn't removed a lot of these people, probably, I'm guessing, General, from fear of a system that is in play? Remember, he was a newcomer. I often reference back when Paul Ryan took him out on the balcony to point some things out where they were in the woodwork there, which was kind of funny to me. That's how, what of a novice he was to the political scene in Washington. But isn't that the case, really? He didn't know any of this. So I think that's what kind of held him back, the timidness to take on an entire country. And maybe I'm giving too much credit here, but I'm guessing that. Or then I would ask you, why didn't he move some of these people out of these positions of power?
Well, he had a lot to do. And then simultaneously, they rolled in the Russian hoax on him. Yeah. So he's trying to.
Well, they had him on defense all that time, General.
They had him on defense. And look at what he accomplished, Malcolm.
I know, buddy.
No president has accomplished what he's done in the time frame. And yet, trying to do all those things. And that's why General Flynn had to go. Flynn had to go because Flynn understood the intelligence community. Yeah. And he would have helped him clean it out. So they went after Flynn right away. And look at it. You still have a judge, Judge Sullivan, who will not back off, showing the corruptness in the judicial.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not only do we have the Congress, and Lord knows what's wrong with the Congress and the House, the corruption there, and the impeachment and all that with no charges. And you look at the bureaucracy, he had his hands full, and yet he accomplished so much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he unfortunately didn't get the right people in because he wasn't familiar with it.
Yeah. General, you referenced earlier 71 million people. And I want to state something that I think, and I want to correct that record, because you were right, kind of, but I want to see if you agree with this. You mentioned, 71 million people would be offended. Is that? And I would say that's probably incorrect, actually. He's won over 71 million of the popular vote, and 75, 6, whatever, it's changing all the time because they keep adding to it on Biden. I would suggest to you, based on what we know and the way things transition and were changed and turned around here, President Trump probably has about 78, could have even been 80 million for that matter, in a historic election where more people voted than ever before. And I would say that number is probably greatly higher, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm glad you brought that up, Malcolm, because I had not thought of that. But you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so it is probably 78 million.
Exactly.
The fact is we don't know right now, but we'll find this out so the American people can have a choice on whether they want to continue as a republic, as a democracy, or if they want to become a totalitarian state. That's the two choices. Look, Biden never had a press conference where he took open questions for an hour like President Trump would do every day. Mm-hmm. And yet he won. Yeah. He stayed in the basement, yet he won. Yeah. That doesn't pass the sniff test.
Well, I was just saying, you know, General, you are just feeding right off of my mind. I don't know if you've wired into it or what, but we are. That's exactly. I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to mention to you. I mean, General, even if somebody has, I mean, not a terribly high IQ and they're just getting by. And we said to you, well, here's a guy who's going to run for president. He's going to be, and we're going to make him the president-elect, but he's not going to answer any questions. He's not going to talk to the media. He'll run this thing from really his basement in Wilmington. And yet the other guy will run the back and forth over the country. He'll talk to the people, he'll shake hands, he'll have rallies, he'll do this, he'll do that. And who do you think the winner will be? And we'll ask you that, you know, a couple of months ago, and you would have said what? And then we say, well, the guy in the basement who's not going to answer any questions, won't have any answers or agenda, but he'll be the victor in this election. And you would probably have me locked up.
Exactly. It's never happened like this before. So that's kind of the pattern of behavior your colonel friend is talking about. All these things must be accumulated, but we need hard facts and affidavits on the voting at the time they were transferred, et cetera. And so that's the challenge we have in these coming weeks before all these votes are certified. And it's important that the president get involved with hammer and cross and scorecard. He must understand this backwards and forwards because this is the way they defeated him. You're right. He probably had 80 million votes,
right,
or 78 that were transferred and that we didn't see. But there are more than 71 million Americans we know who were disappointed that their votes, we just don't know which of us, our votes were kept in which were transferred.
Yeah, but it is important we change that number right now, General, and I'm glad you and I agree with that because it's more than 71 million.
Yes.
Yeah, number so one.
You suggest we make it, but 78?
I think it's 78. I think it's looking at everything, what they stole, what's on Biden, and then others, I think you're looking at some, because I don't think a lot of those people vote for Biden. I think millions and millions of votes are in the tank for Biden, but they're really not there. And I think if this widespread fraud happened in all of these states, how many other states don't we know that might have done this? I mean, you take New York, for instance. Agree, General, it's a Democrat stronghold. But how stupid can the people of New York truly be? I have to ask you. Right now, they've been taken over from a socialist communist mayor and governor. They have nothing left. I don't imagine New York will ever be the same again in our lifetime. They've killed the entire. It's insanity what's happened in New York. I mean, this is beyond, well, it'll be fine after COVID. Like hell, it's going to be fine after COVID. 60 to 70% of the businesses are going out permanently. They'll never come back again. When you take all that into consideration, how would those same people, General, even if you're a Democrat, talk to me, please, and convince me how they would go in and vote for another Democrat who's going to lock everything down, put more mask mandate, and create a social agenda, tax the hell out of you more. Who would vote for that?
Well, I hope they don't. I mean, it's insane. You know, the people I talk in New York have said exactly what you have said, Malcolm. New York is dead. It's not ever going to be like it was. And the Democrats don't care. They really don't care, because it's pure control for them. And it's so disappointing. I never thought in my lifetime that I would see such a situation. And without sounding like a tin hat, there's no question that this COVID-19 benefited the Democrats, because we know that the economy, the way it was going, is President Trump was a dominant winner. Now, was there collusion between certain wealthy Democrats and our Chinese friends?
Foreign adversaries, there it is right there.
Exactly. And why all of a sudden did it come when it did? And why did the CDC give the Wuhan lab $3.5 million or whatever it was in studying and we're not aware?
And that was Fauci was at the center of that one. Yeah.
And so the fact is, we don't have time to figure that out now. We've got to figure out exactly what Hammer and what Scorecard did to impact the election in the battleground states. It's that simple. How that cyber warfare package changed the outcome of the election. And we don't have much time to do it. And Mr. President, this is the only program. The evidence is there. You have got to move out on this, despite what other people that want to say no wasn't. This is the only thing that is going to save your presidency.
There it is right there. Wow. Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, very much a patriot, speaks our language very much. There's so much to take out of this program. He puts the rallying call out there right there. The other real big takeaway that he talks about, my fellow Americans, is there's a decision to make here. We don't have to be clever. We don't have to be smart or smug or anything else. I mean, there is a decision. Do you want to go along with this totalitarian state and the changeover of this nation, which that is the choice that we have? Yes, America will have to make that choice. As to why so many people have their head in the sand or their head up their ass, either one, is something you'll have to figure out and decide. But I'll tell you what, I continue to plead. We must get to the independents in America. We must get to those moderates. We must get just left of center, those people who still love America. They still want their freedom. I understand it. They have a little more social liberal values. That's okay. Those people have a home here. They have a home here with America law, but the Marxists, these people need to get a one-way ticket the hell out of here to the center of hell somewhere, which does not exist in America. So back to that fight of good and evil we talk about all the time. Here we are at this very moment of time. I've been telling you every day about this fight, and here we are. And it's been a drip, 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 drip impact and effect over a period of time. Didn't happen yesterday. I'll tell you, this has been happening for many, many years. I referenced 9/11 and what happened with our freedoms after that. The general agreed with me there. He knew, because he knows what's going on. And then he just mentioned at the end there, China. You better believe it. So was there more there? Well, you tell me, people, was there more there? How the handy-dandy virus came in just at the perfect time. Because if you roll this back to last November, guess what? The president kicks everybody's ass from here to you know where. There isn't anybody who's going to touch him in a re-election campaign. So figure that one out, people. Then come back and talk to me about more conspiracies, will you? And who's our biggest enemy? China. And why do they want Russia? And if Russia isn't the problem, never was the problem. We talked about this right along, and here we are. I mean, this stuff is disturbing. It is disturbing at every level. And I'll tell you what. For those of you out there, or those that aren't listening, probably because that are ignorant, even my children who are 17 and 18 now, they know what's going on. They figured it out, and they understand their America is going to die right in front of us. Now, how sad is that? How sad is that? That my own kids are saying that to me. It is time, America, to get your head out from under and figure it out. It's time to get involved and get loud.